You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
6 o'clock hour of the show, but Jimmy Kimmel was celebrating and his audience was laughing. They absolutely loved it when Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox News. But now that Jimmy Kimmel is out at ABC, oh, even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, her old remarks are coming back to bite her as well. She was celebrating also when Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox News. And she basically was talking about how deplatforming works. There you go. Anyway, we'll talk about that and more later this hour of the show. But first, let's jump right into it. Great to have Becky Hillier back with us. We always, every Friday, look forward to looking at the bright side of things with our friend Becky Hillier. Becky, great to have you on. I just realized that this is the first time catching up with you because we missed you last week. I was on the road and you were on the road as well. But first time catching up with you after this just devastating loss of Charlie Kirk. Give us your take, if you can, just on just what we're seeing take place in this country and how quickly people are still celebrating and acting like nothing happened here.
Well, I think it was really interesting, Aaron. And, you know, of course, it was shocking and sad. I was in a meeting with a bunch of people at the Nile when we got the notifications on our phone and we all looked down at our phone at once and it said that, you know, he had been shot at a rally in Utah. And, you know, we couldn't believe it as the story and the facts unfolded. And I think with Charlie, you know, what was special about him is he was such a thoughtful, intelligent person, both intelligent, book smart, but also emotionally intelligent. And he knew the Bible inside and out. He was a great student of the Bible, great student of history. And all of his positions and opinions were very well thought out and grounded in fact and truth. And he encouraged debate. He encouraged the thoughtful debate of people with differing views and opinions. And he respected people who came up to the microphone at those rallies and had a thoughtful position to present to him. And when I was thinking of all of this and I saw all of the posts that were, you know, flying around social media after it, and some people celebrating and saying that he was racist and a bigot and he was mean and terrible person. And I thought, no, he really wasn't. If you watch those videos where he is conducting those rallies on the campuses, he treated those people who stepped up to the mic, Aaron, with such respect. He was encouraging to them and supporting of them. He never yelled. He never raised his voice. He never resorted to name calling as they did with him many times. He never demeaned them. In fact, in some cases, he would say that he was praying for them or he would tell them, God bless you. And as I thought about Charlie over the last couple of weeks, I thought he really embodies this quote that I love. And I remind myself of it when I get into a corner or there's a delicate situation. And it's improve your argument.
Okay. It's a quick one. I was going to say hold that one for after the break, but that's a quick one. All right. Hold that thought. Becky Hillier back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 70s to around 80. Clear and quiet for tonight with overnight lows in the upper 40s and lower 50s. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine with highs around 80 in Bozeman to the mid 80s in the Billings area. And skies stay clear Saturday night with lows in the low to mid 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is House Call for Health. Upbeat music could save you from experiencing intense motion sickness. Researchers in China analyzing the data after exposing volunteers to motion sickness in a driving simulator to see how different types of music would affect them. They found soft and joyful music was most effective in helping participants recover, reducing symptoms between 56 and 57%. Stirring music lowered symptoms by 48%. Sad music reduced symptoms by 40%, also allowing them to recover naturally. One limitation of the study is that volunteers volunteers only listened to music for 60 seconds. The study was published in the journal Frontiers in Human Neuroscience. Unrelated to the study, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the primary symptoms of motion sickness are nausea and vomiting. Related symptoms include drowsiness, gastrointestinal discomfort, dizziness, and more. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
October 7th is the date Charlie Kirk was scheduled to be back in Montana at Montana State University for a big event there. What else happens on October 7th, the anniversary of these horrific terrorist attacks against the peaceful people of Israel? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Coming up on Friday's show, our good friend, the rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the synagogue in Bozeman. He's with us Friday, and we'll take your calls and more.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, Becky Hillier, she was timing it just right. And then I thought, whoa, let's hold that one for after the break. But I should have just let her roll with it, because that one simple quote would have fit in right there, right as we went to the last news and weather break there. But yeah, Becky Hillier, share that quote with us again, just in case I kind of talked over you a little bit there.
Sure. Yeah, just real quickly, the quote that comes to mind when I think of Charlie and what he did is, don't raise your voice, improve your argument. And that really embodied what Charlie did and what he wanted other people to do too. He wanted the free exchange of ideas and conversation. He wanted people to discuss their differences, because he famously said, once we start talking to each other, then that's when the violence happens. That's when we hurt each other, because we dehumanize the issue. The issues no longer have personal face to it. And so when I hear that quote, I think of Charlie, I just see his face, and I think that's exactly what he did. He never raised his voice. He improved his argument, and he was so encouraging of others to do the same.
Yeah, and just showed up and opened up the microphone. You and I were talking during the break. You know, you're seeing all these videos, more and more videos now, of a lot of these interactions that Charlie Kirk had over the years. And again, he was assassinated at only 31 years old. But he would, since he was a teenager, he would go do this, show up on college campuses and just give the microphone over to people with different viewpoints and discuss and debate things with them. And the way that his comments get chopped up and misquoted so that they can still continue to try to falsely paint him as something he was not, even days just after he was assassinated, for the entire world to see. I mean, so many kids watched that in real time or saw it seconds later because of social media now, and the videos were just out there and available. And so yet they still have to lie about things that he said to try to paint him in a false light. And then I even had this, so I had this happen yesterday. You know how there's all these like Facebook pages where it's like Flathead 411. I mentioned they shared a lot of photos from the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life in Kalispell that I was at yesterday. There's a Dawson discussion group out in, you know, Dawson County in Glendive. Yesterday, I was mentioning Dawson County because I quoted Charlie Kirk in a speech that I gave there earlier this year. Well, somebody, of course, anonymously jumps on the Dawson discussion chat and starts attacking me and this show. And they were saying, oh, Aaron is on the radio claiming that the guy who killed Charlie Kirk was not a right winger, was not a MAGA guy, basically. Like it's been proven, the facts are out there, that this shooter, that this assassin, the alleged assassin here, is basically was a transgender activist who hated Charlie Kirk, who hated Charlie Kirk's viewpoints. And yet these people still believe the fake information out there, or they're at least trying to lead people to believe that, oh, no, the same thing that Jimmy Kimmel said the other night, that, well, actually, Charlie Kirk's assassin was not a left winger. He was a right winger. And it's like, there's people that actually believe this, or at least are deliberately putting out that bad information to lead people to think that's the case.
Well, and I feel like both sides in a situation like this are scrambling to shift blame and deflect blame. You know, nobody wants to be blamed for that. Nobody wants someone like that on their side. And so you get a lot of different reports and a lot of different analysis of what happened. And you know, because you and I were both in the news business, Aaron, I think when we post something, we really do our due diligence to make sure we're getting it from a legitimate source. There are so many fake sites out there, fake pages out there that are just populating the internet with fake stories to cause that division and to cause that confusion. They're like agents of chaos, basically. And for people who aren't schooled in how to identify a legitimate news site or a news source, they just read all of this and they absorb everything and take it as the God's honest truth. And so a lot of disinformation out there, which makes it really, really hard to get the accurate, correct information out there for everyone. So I really encourage people to do their due diligence and visit legitimate sources, even if you don't like their reporting. If they are a legitimate news outlet, news source, get your news from there. Don't get it from some of these offshoot sites because they can't be trusted.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing, too, now is a lot of our listeners that are active on X and things like that, you start to know, okay, who are the accounts you can trust for good leads on information? Right. And then sometimes it might be, okay, that's a good lead for information, but you still got to do your due diligence, check all the boxes.
Exactly.
It's like, for example, when all these examples were flying around social media saying, oh, well, this professor, oh, this person, you know, is cheering the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It was like the Billings Skyview High School English teacher. Okay, I see that on social media. It's coming from a good source that's pretty reliable, but I still need to do my due diligence. I can just jump on the radio.
Absolutely.
And say something.
Right.
So, hey, I reach out to my sources within the school district, close to the school district, folks like that, and then I get it confirmed. Yep, everything checks out. Here's who it is, and oh, by the way, the teacher's now basically been sent home while an investigation is underway. And so, because if you just throw out everything you see out there on the internet, nobody's going to trust you anymore. And then you're not going to be a good advocate for whatever your cause is.
And what people do is they scour the internet, Aaron, for stories that match what they want to see. They only want to see what they want to see. They want to hear and believe what they want to believe. And so, yeah, it's just a really dangerous thing. And I was telling you during the break, if I have time to get into this, but I've seen a lot of my friends posting, you know, who were not fans of Charlie Kirk, posting about that quote, citing that quote that he had about empathy is one of the reasons why they didn't like him. He said that, you know, he didn't like empathy and what a terrible guy. Well, his quote was, he didn't like empathy. He thought it was a new age term and he thought it did a lot of damage. That's where people cut off that quote. And I've seen that over and over and over again. But the second half of that quote is where you really see Charlie's heart and what he was trying to express to people and get them to understand. He didn't like empathy. He preferred sympathy because empathy means you can put yourself in that person's shoes and know how they're feeling.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. We're up to week 3 of the NFL season. So far, relatively tightly contested. First 2 weeks, 20 of the 32 games decided by 8 points or fewer. 12 games won by 4 points or fewer. 8 games this week have point spreads of 4 or under. One of these, one of 2 games in week 3 that features both teams with 2-0 records. The reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles home against the Los Angeles Rams. Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern on Fox. Which will also carry the Packers and Browns from Cleveland in the early window, as well as the 2-0 Buccaneers home against the 0-2 Jets, the Raiders at the Commanders, the Panthers home against the Falcons. Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt will be in the Fox TV booth at Soldier Field for a 4:25 Eastern start Sunday between the Bears and Cowboys. Also on Fox, the 2-0 Cardinals at the 2-0 49ers. Sunday night, 0-2 Giants host the 0-2 Chiefs, who have started with 2 losses for the first time since 2014. Jared Max, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. Or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As the fall calf run gets underway shortly in the next few weeks, prices for cattle are expected to remain strong in our local livestock markets. But there are still a few key things producers should consider when sending calves through the ring to capture top dollar. Billings Livestock Commission's Ty Thompson.
Well, I think the most important thing is, and there's a lot of it goes on in Montana because at the auctions, you know, we get the light end off the video deliveries or the big end or such. So they stand around for 4, 5, 6 days and then bring them to town. The worst thing you can do is bring us a 15 to 20 day weaned calf. It's not good for us at the auction representing them. It's not good for the buyer, order buyer to send them, or these local farmers. That's the worst thing you could do. Also, if I always try and tell people, my personal feeling is if you're going to wean a calf, you might as well wean them and get into December. Weaning that calf for 40 days here now and coming in the middle of all those fat, shiny, balling calves in early November, you know, your eye appeal is such a big thing in selling them. And even though you've added value by weaning them, they look rough, they're pot-bellied, they just don't show as good as them. So if you're going to wean a calf, I would shoot for getting them all the way into December, and you'll definitely get paid for it. But just weaning them for 30 days or bringing them right in the middle of the balling calf run at the auctions anyway, I don't know that you get paid for it.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, she does not look 100 years old. I'm looking at the Yellowstone Valley Woman website right now. This grandma on a mission does not look like she is 100 years old. Anyway, wait till you hear the bright side story that Becky Hillier has for us this week. We'll get to that here in a second. You know, Becky, this I know we got cut off by the last break there. Say again just your thoughts on empathy versus sympathy and what Charlie Kirk was actually communicating there and what stood out to you. Oh, are you still with us there, Becky? Let me see here.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Okay, we got you. Yeah.
Yeah, so the first half of the quote is the one you most commonly see people citing as one of the reasons why they don't like Charlie, because he said, "I don't like empathy. It's a new age term that I think does a lot of damage." So that's where they stop it. But the second half of that quote is, "I prefer sympathy, because empathy means that you can understand or know how someone is feeling, and you can't know how someone is feeling." So he said he preferred sympathy opposed to empathy. And I thought, you know, I always feel like sympathy might mean a little more like you pity someone, but I think you can sympathize and be sympathetic to somebody, but not pity them. And empathy, you know, maybe it's not right that we say, "No, I empathize with you." Well, do you really? Because no person's situation is exactly the same. No two people's situations are exactly the same. So I thought, you know, maybe that is true. If you look at it from that perspective, if you're sympathetic or you sympathize with somebody, you're not saying you understand what they're going through. You're just acknowledging that you see that they're in a tough spot. And you're there for them. There for them however you can support them. And I think there's a really beautiful difference between those two terms. But I thought he was very eloquent in the way he stated it. And it's bothered me that people are only focusing on the first part of that quote, and they're totally ignoring the second part. And so I wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, it's because they hate his politics.
Do your due diligence.
It's because they hate his politics, they hate him, and then they want to twist whatever he said. Yeah, that point you make, empathy versus sympathy, I mean, it's kind of like last week. I was at a 9/11 memorial ceremony on the University of Montana campus, and we had Lainey Hyland there, who lost her husband 20 years ago this August in Afghanistan. We also had Michelle Smith, who lost her son, Andrew Bedard, a Marine in Anbar Province, Iraq, 20 years ago this October. There's no way I can understand what they are going through today, even 20 years later. There's no way I could ever truly, you know, feel what they felt or what they still feel to this day. The other thing that this brings to mind, you know, in high school, I was telling Becky about this during the break. And in high school, I had a good friend who has cerebral palsy. And so he was in a wheelchair. He blinked his eyes to communicate yes or no. Sometimes they would leverage facilitative communication where his aide would try to assist him to be able to type out a message. But one of the pins that he would wear on his backpack, if I remember right, it said "No Pity." And there were a lot of people in the disability rights movement that would wear these "No Pity" pins. And I think that's what Charlie Kirk was trying to communicate from what I'm hearing from you here, is like, when you pity somebody, you're basically looking down on them, acting like you're so much better than they are. And, oh, look at me, I'm so great because I pity this person down here. And, you know, it's what we might refer to as virtue signaling in this day and age.
Right. And with empathy, you know, if we say, oh, I can empathize with you, like you were saying about the moms who had lost their sons in service, you've lost friends in service, you know, who died serving our country. So you know the pain of loss, but you don't know how that mom feels. So your experience with mourning the loss of your friend is much different than the experience of the mom or the dad mourning the loss of their child. It's a much different scenario. So you don't want to pity people, and you don't want to be pretentious and presume that you know exactly how they feel. I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, again, you just let them know that you can sympathize with them. You're there for them, and you'll support them and listen however you can. So I liked that quote, and just the distinction to not be presumptuous that we know how other people feel, and to certainly not pity people, but to just be there in a support role for people, that they know that they've got people behind them that recognize the struggle they're going through, but believe in them that they can turn it around, and they'll help them.
Yeah. By the way, on a related note, I had an interesting conversation with a Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Was that yesterday or the day before on the show? Anyway, we've got a story on our Montana Talks website, including the full podcast audio. But, you know, one of the things he talked about was, you know, how he and myself as combat veterans, you know, we've lost friends in battle overseas, and how hard that is, you know, when you've broken bread with somebody to see them killed in such a way. But both of us, you know, got to meet Charlie Kirk. He did an event with Charlie Kirk at the UM campus, and he talked about how, but it's a totally different thing when it happens here on American soil, at a place where you should least expect it. Anyway, that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast or on the Montana Talks app. All right, coming up right after the Fox News update, Grandma on a Mission. That's the headline of an article in the Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine. You can see it at YellowstoneValleyWoman.com as well, but you're going to enjoy hearing. All right, jumping right in back into it here with Becky Hillier. Becky, I'm looking at the great photos of this grandma on a mission. She does not look 100 years old. She is kicking. Right? Yeah.
She looks great. Yeah. So our friend Julie Lovell wrote this article for Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, and it's on their website, or if you're in Billings area, you can pick a copy of the magazine. But it's a feature on 100-year-old Virginia, and I think her last name is pronounced Taves or Twos, I'm not sure, but Virginia. She works 5 days a week at the Montana Rescue Mission, and she is a faith-filled woman, Aaron. Each day she gets up and she prays, God, use me today. And he has used her to minister to the homeless and the destitute for decades. So she says working with the homeless has taught her who Jesus is. And she offers the homeless and anybody really who crosses her path encouragement and kind words and friendship. And to give a little background on her, she and her husband were living in North Dakota, and they moved to the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation to help out the church. And they ended up living there for 38 years. Well, it wasn't too long after they got there that she got the attention of the tribal leaders, and they asked her to help them lobby the federal government for improved housing on the reservation. So that meant she'd have to go back and forth to D.C. So she ended up getting her pilot's license so she could fly back and forth to D.C. for the meetings with the federal authorities. After her husband passed away, she and her daughter moved to Billings. And after the move, she had some things she wanted to donate. So she went down to the mission to donate some of those items. And when she was there, she said she felt such a strong calling to help the rescue mission. So she started out as a volunteer for them, but quickly became a full-time employee. And she's been working there, I think I said, for 28 years now. But she said God gave her a longing to bring up the destitute, and that's exactly what she's done, and not just at the rescue mission. She's also led a Bible study at the Montana Women's Prison, and she has a real affinity and affection for the prisoners there. And her message to the prisoners or any people who are struggling with their past is don't look back, You're not going there. So she has battled cancer twice. It has come back again. So she's battling cancer a third time. But she says she trusts that God will heal her again. But in the meantime, she loves working at the Rescue Mission. And she says every day she just cannot wait to see what God's going to do that day.
Absolutely incredible story. I'm glad you brought this one up here. Yeah, and of course, you were a news anchor at KTVQ Television, and so was Julie Lovell, and so great to work with both of you. And so, yeah, from one news anchor to another there, you talking about Julie's story, what a great look at the bright side for us on this Freedom Friday. Becky Hillier, always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron.
All right. Let's see. Coming up after this, I haven't even looked at the schedule yet today. Coming up after this. Oh, yeah, we've got phone lines open for you. You got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. I'm going to get back to this Jimmy Kimmel story here. And then Kamala Harris. Did you hear what Kamala Harris said about Pete Buttigieg in her new book? We'll talk about that and more right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Do you guys know who Kevin Ham is? Have you ever heard of Kevin Ham? He is a previous Montana Democrat Party candidate for office. What is he? He's run for a couple of different things. Didn't he run for the Eastern Congressional District seat in the Democrat primary? I think he maybe ran for Public Service Commission, too, or something like that. Anyway, when it comes to Helena, this Ham is the biggest LGBTQ activist you will find. Kevin Ham is the guy who, if you disagree with Kevin Ham, he hates you. I'm not being mean here. This is who the guy is. And it's really sad to see because, yeah, I met the guy several years ago being on statewide radio and, you know, being active on Twitter and X. You meet all sorts of people, especially people you disagree with. And I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy meeting people that I disagree with. And so, of course, I've run into Kevin Ham, and, you know, seemed like a nice enough guy back in the day. But this guy has now, much like so many on the left, that if you disagree with them, they absolutely hate you. But yet they claim that you're the one who has hate. When they hate people that disagree with them. So Kevin Ham, if you go to x.com/AaronFlint, I just shared this one here. He was on Facebook the other day, and basically where he is basically making it clear that he doesn't think there was anything wrong with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He said this, it really is a choice. He says, violence, he shared a meme that says, violent speech is violence. When you choose violence, you choose only the form you wield. When others join you in choosing violence, they get to choose their weapon. And then he straight up lies about Charlie Kirk. And he said this in a comment. He says, Charlie Kirk, basically, he says this. He didn't debate. He made racist, that's BS, sexist, homophobia statements and smiled while doing it. Look, so what Kevin Ham here, the big LGBTQ activist in Helena is saying here is that if you disagree with him, that somehow your speech is violent. Just like, remember when they said, silence is violence. Remember when they would tell people that if you don't call out these people for saying things that you disagree with, your silence is violence. And then now they're, so many of these LGBTQ activists are using violence to advance their agenda. I mean, this is just absolutely deranged. And yet this guy is still allowed a prominent position in certain places in Helena, in our state's capital city, when he says stuff like this. He is the one that spews hate. He thinks that if you have traditional Judeo-Christian beliefs about marriage and sexuality, that that's violence. Your speech, your thoughts themselves are violence, as he condemns actual violence. Anyway, so that's Kevin Ham. He's the big gay activist in Helena. Speaking of gay activists, you guys know Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, who was the transportation secretary under Joe Biden. The only reason he got the job is because he's gay. And he checks some woke check boxes. That's why he got the job as transportation secretary. And then we wonder why our transportation system is in such a mess. The guy couldn't even fill a pothole as mayor of some small town in Indiana, but because he's a big gay activist, they made him the Secretary of Transportation under the Joe Biden regime. But apparently, he's a little too gay for Kamala Harris. Did you guys hear about this? Kamala Harris has a new book out now, and Kamala Harris, apparently in her book, I saw it, it's all over Politico Playbook, all the D.C. Media outlets are reporting on this. She said that the reason she didn't pick Pete Buttigieg to be her vice presidential candidate is because he is too gay. Will Cain on Fox News had these four guys from the Ruthless podcast. If you're familiar with the Ruthless podcast, Will Cain had the Ruthless podcast guys on his show yesterday. And they were talking about Kamala's book and how, what I just told you.
So Mayor Pete was too gay to be her pick for VP.
Yeah. I mean, what a perfect, this is the problem with the modern left, right? It's never about the content of your character, as MLK used to say, or your ability to do a job. It's all about these identity silos that they put themselves in and that they view the rest of the American electorate by, right? Like, never mind the fact that she was like a national laughingstock in many ways. And so was Pete Buttigieg. The issue was like, oh, well, I'm black and he's gay. And like, people won't vote. I gotta be honest with you, Kamala. They'll vote for whomever they think can do the job, and you didn't convince them that you could, which is why you're sitting at home writing books.
Yeah. Also, I kind of noticed it's funny. She's no longer trying to pretend she's Indian anymore. She didn't even put that in her book. She's just a black woman. Oh. She's not running. She doesn't have to pretend anymore. Good for her. I mean, it's just like, what a sham this whole thing is to begin with.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, that's a pretty funny point that he made here at the end. He's like, because you guys remember this. Remember when she was campaigning for office in San Francisco? You go back and look at like the San Francisco Chronicle news reports and her campaign communications. She didn't even talk about being black. Her whole focus was, the first Indian American, not Native American, from the country India, the first Indian American to be blank. In San Francisco, she didn't even tell anybody. She didn't even want anybody. She remember when that came up in some of the debates with her and Trump, and Trump was mocking her for not being, proud of being black. And, oh, boy, did the left go in a tizzy over that one. But then, wait till you hear this soundbite. Okay, so she didn't pick Mayor Pete Buttigieg because he's too gay. So she picks Tampon Tim Walz instead?
Also, to your point, Will, Pete Buttigieg, he's gay. Nobody's going to ever deal with that. Here's Tim Walz, and he's like, hello. It's like, wow. We're mixed messages here.
I had a little side bet with myself on whether that particular angle would come up, and I'm just so happy that bet cashed in. All right, last word to you, Ash. Just last word to you quickly, Ashbrook.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Sorry. I got a phone call coming in and it stopped my clip from playing. So here we go. One last word from the Ruthless podcast, guys.
Yeah, man, who needs Jimmy Kimmel when politicians like Kamala Harris are the biggest jokes in the country? There's literally no reason to ever believe a single thing she says. All of us know the guy out there who's like, oh, yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I could throw the ball over the mountain if I wanted to. It's like, okay, buddy, you weren't going to win. You weren't cut out for the job. Do something else.
Yeah. Okay, buddy. Hey, anyway, into the phone lines we go. We've got Aaron in Three Forks on the line. Aaron, what's your thoughts? Good to hear from you.
Hey, yeah, I'm a little sad today. I finally agree with Kamala Harris on something. If I was running for politics, I'd have to say that Pete Buttigieg too gay to be on my ticket as well.
But see, when you say it, right? But when she says it, you know, there's a difference in the way it gets handled, right?
Yeah, but she put me in a box, and I have to agree with her. I can't criticize her for that.
So are you putting a Kamala? Are you putting a Kamala for a president sticker on the back of your pickup this morning now, or?
Pigs would fly before you seen that. Pigs would fly. Have a good day.
All right, you too, Aaron. Thanks for the phone call. Justin Terry comment. I shared this at facebook.com/Flint Report. Kamala Harris says she didn't pick Pete Buttigieg for VP because he was too gay. Justin Terry. So she picked a guy who believes boys need tampons? Gloria Burkhart, excuses. Ron Burton says this, that's the most honest and heartfelt thing she has ever said. Imagine one DEI hire giving the snub to another. It's so rich, isn't it? So rich. All right, back right after this. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Hey, if you got your phones out, you're going to want to give a call to High Caliber Plumbing. I'll tell you what, they have got a great team. This is a veteran-owned, family-owned business, High Caliber. Ron Gunn is the owner. He's a veteran. He's got his two sons working for the company as plumbers as well. But they've got over 25 years of combined experience in plumbing and heating, serving the Billings, Bridger, Red Lodge, Columbus, and surrounding areas. You're going to want to ask them about these Rinnai tankless water heaters. They are officially certified to install those for you. Plus, there's a tax credit that goes away at the end of the year. So if you want to get that installed, call them right now. You can also ask them about so many other things, you know, emergency plumbing services, new construction plumbing. If you're doing new construction, you need some plumbers, check out highcaliberplumbing.com. Highcaliberplumbing.com. And those bathroom floors, when you're getting ready in the morning, they're already getting cold, aren't they? Warm your feet with radiant heating from High Caliber Plumbing, highcaliberplumbing.com. Back right after this.
Recently, we asked some people about sharing their New York Times accounts.
My name is Dana. I am a subscriber to the New York Times, but my husband isn't. And it would be really nice to be able to share a recipe or an article or compete with him in Wordle or Connections. Thank you.
Dana, we heard you. Introducing the New York Times Family Subscription. One subscription, up to 4 separate logins for anyone in your life. Find out more at nytimes.com/family.
Fox News commentary.
Uh-oh, a Democrat senator accidentally admitted that men and women have biological differences. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Guy Benson, in for Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by Fox News contributor, OutKick columnist, and host of the Getting Hammered podcast, Mary Catherine Hamm, my dear friend.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
High-powered offenses go head-to-head as Texas Tech takes on Utah. The best pregame, the best announcers, the biggest games. Big noon Saturday, noon Eastern on Fox.
Senator Mazie Hirono clashed with FBI Director Patel over pull-ups, but in doing so admitted women do in fact have inferior strength. This all went down because starting next year, the FBI will require new agents to do one pull-up. That's right. One. Hirono called it harsh and claimed it would discourage women from applying. Director Patel reminded the senator the FBI agents chase violent thugs, carry weapons, and put themselves in danger. If you can't do one pull-up, maybe the FBI isn't for you. This is part of Patel's broader effort to toughen up the Bureau, cutting bloated training, ditching the college degree requirement, and focusing on readiness. The FBI isn't a social experiment. It's a law enforcement agency. And if doing a single pull-up is too much to ask, maybe the bar's not the problem. Maybe the standards have been too low for too long. But it is good to know Democrats suddenly know what a woman is. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 70s to around 80. Clear and quiet for tonight, with overnight lows in the upper 40s and lower 50s. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine, with highs around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. And skies stay clear Saturday night with lows in the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
All right, we've now got an update on our Montana Talks website to a story that we shared with you earlier this week exclusively. Now we have an official response from School District 2 that, yes, they are investigating this teacher, and the teacher has been sent home while they investigate after allegedly this teacher was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That full story, go to Montana.
Improve your health naturally. We have amazing guests that join the show. Tune in now at letsstayhealthymt.com.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I got a great message on the app just now from Anna in Bozeman, and it's similar to an email that I shared from her yesterday. Anna, I don't know if you heard me share your great email. I think I shared that in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. It was spot on, but this one's got some more to it as well here. All right, so here you go. Jimmy Kimmel basically gets axed from ABC, not because the government told him to do so, but because his ratings stink. His ratings are just so far down. He's got worse ratings than Stephen Colbert, and you know, and similar costs to the program and everything. But Jimmy Kimmel straight up lied on his program earlier this week, as we shared with you on the show. But now Jimmy Kimmel's pretending to be this victim, and how awful it is that he's getting fired from ABC. But Jimmy Kimmel sure was happy when Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox News.
Fox News has severed bow ties with Tucker Carlson. After all these years, they are parting ways, which means he was fired. I mean, that's really what parting ways means. Tucker couldn't be reached for comment.
All right, and then later in that same monologue, Jimmy Kimmel also had this as he continued to celebrate Tucker Carlson getting fired from Fox.
He's probably not done poisoning old people's brains. The question now is, where will he do it next? Will he go to OAN? Will he go to Newsmax? Will he crawl back up Satan's fiery beehole from whence he came? We don't know. One of the most despicable Mother Tuckers ever to appear on American television.
All right, of course, and now that he is the one who has been fired, he's pretending to be the victim. Here's what President Trump had to say during yet another successful trip overseas, where he appeared alongside the King of England.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else, and he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings, and they should have fired him a long time ago. So, you know, you can call that free speech or not. He was fired for lack of talent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, what's interesting, too, earlier I mentioned how, so yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, we were talking with this young lady, Gracie Stogzill is her name, 18 years old. She planned this whole incredible celebration of life event for Charlie Kirk yesterday in Kalispell. And some anonymous poster goes on this Dawson discussion Facebook group and straight up lies about our program and straight up lies about who killed Charlie Kirk. And this anonymous poster goes on this Dawson discussion page and claims that the Charlie Kirk assassin is a conservative, which is total outright lies, which was the very lie that Jimmy Kimmel shared on his program earlier this week. And isn't it just interesting that they're mad that Jimmy Kimmel is fired for lying on his show, and then what's their response? They try to get people like us and shows like ours canceled for telling the truth, and they have to lie about our shows to get us canceled, but they're mad when their guys get fired for lying. So they resort to lying about the rest of us. It's just pretty interesting, isn't it? Anna in Bozeman, she says, there's two reasons why the left hates Charlie Kirk so much. The first is simple jealousy. He is the American dream come true for all young Americans who believe in meritocracy and hard work. His opponents had to compete for a higher status on the victimhood ladder to get more of other people's money. And if you missed it, I shared an email from Anna in Bozeman yesterday where she basically said that Charlie Kirk, the reason they really hated him is because he went right after the golden calf, their so-called experts, especially their so-called experts in academia. That's who Charlie Kirk outwitted and exposed. And so she basically said that he pointed out that the emperor has no clothes in academia.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council. Smokey
the Bear. After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.